we bless you. And I just want to give thanks to you for welcoming us into your house. I know this is not your building, but it's your house of fellowship and worship. And we're looking forward to the Lord blessing our houses as we come together to honor him this morning. Thank you to Bill and to all of you for always welcoming me here. My home church at the moment is Table Peninsula, but this is like a home away from home. I always feel very much at home here, so much so that I'm moving the furniture around and changing things up a little bit. I always feel a bit lonely up there, and so I've come a bit closer to you. I used to drive people crazy at Church of Our Lord because we had this huge big pulpit and I never preached from it. I always came down and preached with one of these kind of stands. So I'm feeling very much at home, and it's great to be here with you. Over this past week, we've seen lots of shock and horror. Every week seems to get worse as we look at the television and what's going on in the world. And last week, I waded into Israel in the Middle East. So today, I thought I'd like to do something a little closer to home and look at housing. Housing crisis is what we hear here in BC and in Canada. And I'm not going to solve all those problems, but we are going to be talking about housing. And what I pray today is that we would be encouraged and blessed as we hear the word to us. This Psalm 118 is such a beautiful psalm and gives us, all the psalms give us such great wisdom and comfort. And this psalm gives us so much information, more than we can cover, but it will give us a start for the theme of this morning. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. And so, Lord, as we come into your house, into your presence, we thank you, Lord, that we are part of your house, and we pray blessing upon it. Each one here today, speak to us through your word, encourage us, comfort us, challenge us, in Jesus' name, amen. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. What a wonderful verse. Now, I want to share an illustration that I may have shared with you before, but as I can't remember what I shared last week, maybe some of you won't remember. I won't even remark on our church. I often used to say, what did we speak about last week? And we'd have these blank looks. And so maybe you won't even remember this, but I was raised in Durban in South Africa, and my parents had a beautiful home overlooking the city. And it became a place of absolute security and love for us as children as we were raised. And we tried to do the same for our own children as we provided our home. And it became a place for them that we hoped would be a place of stability and security and love. But when I went back to Durban a couple of years ago, we went back to that old house. And you know, it wasn't home anymore. We'd moved on. It was very different. And we didn't belong there anymore. And you see, that's the nature of life. That things disrupt and change as we go along in life. And for many people today, they don't even have homes. And I'm not only talking about Canada, where it's very hard for young people to get into the housing market, but when you look at what's happened in the last week in Israel, or what's happened in Ukraine, or what's happened in many countries as refugees are looking for a place to lay their head, a place to find a shelter for themselves. It's really hard. And so life can be challenging, but God offers his house as a place of refuge, and that's what I'm hoping to share this morning. All our experiences in this life are a prototype, a forerunner of what the Lord is planning and building in eternity. And this includes our earthly residences. It's a foretaste of the rooms or homes that Jesus is preparing us in his heavenly Father's house. And we sang about that this morning, the mansion that God is preparing for us to find our place in when we go into eternity. And last week, I believe Pastor Bruce was looking ahead, and when we will all be taken up into glory and find our place in God's heavenly home. So this psalm is packed with great messages. It starts with an attitude of thanksgiving and then goes on to describe God's gifts, our God-given gifts, the tools of the trade to help us build our house. We have a name, we have a hand, a gate, and a stone. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We remember and give thanks for God's goodness, his everlasting love. And of course, we've just had Thanksgiving when we've just done that. But it's something we do every day, every week. We give thanks to God for his goodness. It includes remembering the past, enjoying the present, and looking forward to the future. And I'm going to shift myself a little bit here. Having come closer, I'm moving away to get out of the sun. Endures forever. Isn't that a lovely term? Endures forever. It shows God's interest in the long haul. He is interested in our eternal long-term future more than just gratifying our immediate desires and our immediate needs. He's looking for the long haul. Endures forever. When we say the house of, it means a dwelling place, a household, a family, and even a family name. And so let Israel say his love endures for Israel. Israel, of course, was the household family name of God's people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he became Israel, the one who has prevailed, who has striven with God and prevailed. And it's amongst this people that God chose to make his dwelling. The ancestral land of Israel was gifted by the Lord God, and all the conflict that's gone on throughout history is not going to upset his eternal plan. When Jerusalem is surrounded by enemies, we read in Luke 21, it speaks of two outcomes, desolation and redemption. Desolation and redemption, and we see that happening. And this is true for us who are the Christian church as well, that when we drink of the cup of salvation, it includes desolation and redemption, salvation and suffering. It's all part of God's purpose and plan. The old covenant promises are mostly fulfilled in the new by the coming of Jesus, the Christ, Messiah. As the Word becomes flesh, he makes his tabernacle, his home, his dwelling among us, in order that we might behold, we catch a glimpse of his glory as he prepares us to become part of his eternal home, of his house in eternity. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever. Now, believers were known as God-fearers, and fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want to build a house of faith and wisdom, we build on the fear and awe of the Lord. Now, this psalm can apply to Israel, to the church, to us as individuals. As we lift our voice before God and declare his eternal purposes, our house, our household comes under his cover, under his protection, in his presence. Our household may be a household of one or 100, and it may include or extend to our family, extended family, and our church. And so today we say this, let the house of Ellis, my name, let the house of Ellis be blessed and honored in the name of Christ. Let the house of Peninsula Mission Community Church, let the house of the table say his love endures forever. Let all our houses, our homes, our names, our churches say, let God's house be built and his love endures forever. And in case anyone feels left out, it says, let those who fear the Lord say. Now, I'm a firm believer that God's purpose for each household who are Christian is that our children would be raised up in faith from generation to generation. That's my hope and prayer for our family, and I'm sure for yours, that each child, each person from generation to generation would continue to build the house of God and be blessed from generation to generation. So today, what can we give thanks for in our house? And so, Lord, as we come together as these houses of you, I just pray, Lord, open our eyes to see the world through your enduring love, your eternal purpose. Lord, help us to see beyond just the physical, beyond just what we're going through, to see what your eternal purpose is for each of us. But what about, you may say, what about all the troubles in the world? What about my personal trials? As we journey through life as individuals and churches, I'm sure we've all experienced anguish. I think this the version we had read was when hard pressed, and in another version it says anguish. When we are hard pressed, when we are going through anguish, through difficulties, what do? In my anguish, when hard pressed, I cried out to the Lord. Now it can be internal anguish, possibly caused by all those D's. Distress, disappointment, dysfunction, disillusionment, doubt, depression, disappointment with other people, with ourselves. Lord, we all go through this kind of anguish at times. It keeps us in bondage. So what do we do with our anguish? In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. And what did he do? He answered, it says. How? By setting me free. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my helper. He is our refuge. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. The Lord is our refuge, our helper, our very present help in times of trouble. It may be internal anguish, but it also can be external anguish and external threat and danger. All the nations surrounded me, says verse 10. And of course, that's so relevant for Israel today. Throughout Israel's history, nations have threatened its very existence. And over the past weeks, we've seen those whose aim is the destruction of Israel. But at the same time, all over the world, we see people facing danger from violence and war. Here in Canada, we're in a relatively free and secure country where rights and freedoms are meant to be guarded by the Constitution. However, we are involved in a cultural war, and probably the most, the people whose beliefs are probably most under threat are the Christians. Just share with you something I heard this week. I mean, we all know these kind of stories, but this week, the military chaplains were told, especially coming up to Remembrance Day, that they were not allowed to use the word God or Father in public prayer. In the interests of inclusivity, which has become our new religion in our nation. But that was something that came through to the chaplains just this past week. So we need to pray for our military. We pray for these public kind of occasions and ceremonies, and pray for a change of heart or government or something to get back to where we should be. However, we are not to be overcome by any of these kind of threats. We shouldn't retreat into isolation or defensiveness or self-righteousness. But when we are surrounded on every side, we have the power to what? It says, I cut them down. I cut them off. And so we cut off those influences. We cut it off from us feeling somehow defeated or angry or frustrated. We cut off that stuff and we declare God's intentions and purposes. We have a two-edged sword for offense and defense, the word of God. We have freedom in Christ over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His freedom reigns forever. We stand free from condemnation and anguish, free from the world's influence, from words, habits, temptations, past memories, fears, threats, or any kind of behavior. And so, Lord, we just come to you, and in our anguish, we cry out to you. We pray for those who are struggling with all kinds of issues. We pray for them to be free and know you as their Savior and Lord. How can we build and prepare our house to be a blessing so we can say, from the house of the Lord, from our house, we bless you? Well, it starts with a name and then continues with a hand, a gate, and a stone. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. Now remember, this was a cry of the festal processions for the greeting of expected Messiah. And of course, on Palm Sunday, the crowd shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Hosanna, of course, means, do you remember what it means? Come and save us. Hosanna, come and save us. It was a declaration of praise, but a declaration of need as well. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, I know you know all these things. So tell me, what is the name of the Lord? What are some of the names of the Lord? This is the chance for you to now speak to me. Yeshua. Yes, that's one. Yeshua, Jesus. Abba. Abba, Father. Yes. Yahweh. Yahweh, which comes from what? Do you remember where it's designated, where it comes from? From when Moses met God in the burning bush. Do you remember when he said, "Who are you?" And God said, "I am that I am." And that's where we get Yahweh from, J-H-W-H. In Hebrew, there's no vowels, so it's J-H-W-H. And we put in the vowels and we have Yahweh or Jehovah. And from there, we get a whole lot of other different designations as well. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And a whole lot more. Okay, what other names do we have?
Adonai.
Adonai. Yes, do you know what that means? It means the Lord is all-powerful, almighty, almighty God. And it was used back in Genesis. And then as we get closer to Isaiah, what else do we hear? Elohim is another one. That's a Hebrew one. And it also means Almighty God. But as we get into Isaiah, we have other names. First of all, we get Emmanuel. Remember him? What does that mean? God with us. And that comes into Yeshua, Jesus. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so Adonai, Almighty, Powerful One, Yahweh, the Eternal One, becomes God with us, who comes alongside us, who's with us in our need. And of course, that's introduced to the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us that we might behold His glory. And so Jesus is the personification, is the image, is the fullness of Almighty God, and He is with us. And therefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name above every other name, which at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. So it's in that name that we have the power to cut off all the influences. It's in that name that we come under His presence and cover and protection. And it's in that name we receive His blessings. And all of us have got names, haven't we? I've shared with you before, I think my name means, Rodney means a road builder. And I didn't build any roads, but I have been involved in church building. But we all have names. We have a surname and a first name. And when we become Christians, we bear the name of Christ. We become Christ's ones. We are one with Christ. And so we reflect His name. And so everything we do and say has a reflection on the name that we bear, which is why we as Christians need to reflect His character, His holiness, His everything about Him. Now I'm going to wade into something as well, and coming up this week is something, and I have no problem in celebrating All Hallows Eve. Hallow means holy. All Hallows Eve. I personally do have a problem with celebrating Halloween, which I don't see much holiness about it at all. And if you have any different views to me, that's just fine. I'm not here for a debate. I'm simply declaring my view that I don't want anything in my life to syncretize with anything that is not of God. And sometimes I think we get caught up with worldly stuff and we forget the impact of it. I don't really understand the preoccupation with the macabre, the death, the demonic, sugar-coated with candy and dress-up and rationalizes as harmless fun. So that's where I'm coming from in this coming Halloween week. This is usually when everyone goes silent, but that's fine. You were silent already. But I'm praying for protection of all our children. Our children are under such attack these days from all different directions, but I'm praying for protection, for God's kingdom to come, for His will to be done as we stand against the devil's scheme. And so in the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I take that authority that's given me, the resources given me, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to cut off anything that would come against God and His purpose. The Lord is my strength, my defense. He is my salvation. And so in thanksgiving, we can come and ask anything in His name so that our joy may be complete. And in His name, we declare His purpose, His intentions for the world and promises. We have a standard that we raise up, a name of honor, and we call to live up to it. We raise up the standard in the name of the Lord our God over our house. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted up. And one of the benefits of being God's children is that He offers us His hand to His house, His hand to build our house. What do we use our hands for? A couple of things. There's a simple question. Washing, there you go, that's a good one. What else?
Building. Helping.
Defending, protecting, blessing. So many different things that we use our hands for. To guide, to discipline, to create, to bless, to cover, to give, to protect. And I don't know if you've noticed, but in the Bible, it's always referenced as the right hand. Now, I'm left-handed, so I always take a bit of offense at that, but I'll let that one go. God has a plan. Right hand is where all the good stuff comes in. And that's my left hand. Right hand. And so His hand is reaching out to us. And today we give thanks to the Lord for His hand. Lovers hold hand as a sign of affection. Children hold their parents' hand, and have you noticed how they feel totally secure when they're with their parents? Hand in hand, they don't know where they're going, they don't know what the problems are around the world. They just know that with mom or dad, hand in hand, they're fine. And as we lift our hands and put our hand in the hand of God, in the hand of Jesus, we can know that we are secure, that we're with Him and He's with us. And that's a wonderful thing to have. Remember that song, He's got the whole world in His hand. So even when we see problems in the world, He's got the whole world in His hands. I don't know if you remember this from Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. And he says this to the people of Jerusalem. You see the trouble we're in. We're in deep trouble here. We've got all the walls have fallen down and we're in big trouble. Come, let's build them. And then I told them about the gracious hand of the Lord upon me. I told them about the gracious hand of the Lord, how He brought him to the king, and he was given access to materials. He was given freedom of movement. I told them about the gracious hand of God, and that's our testimony. Can you give testimony today to the gracious hand of the Lord upon you, upon us? Can you look back and see how God has moved in your life in the past? I can look back and I've known the graces of the hand been upon me in protecting me, in healing, in providing blessing in so many decades of ministry. From home invasion back in South Africa to standing between fighting factions in Khayelitsha in Cape Town as part of Desmond Tutu sent his clergy in to be a wall between two fighting factions. Well, they just ignored us and continued fighting. But the hand of the Lord was upon us and protected us. To our van rolling over while in Malawi, where we had an accident, our van rolled over and over. My pastor friend was shouting, Jesus, Jesus, and he looked after us and kept us safe. To the many health challenges Lynn has had to face, the latest is being retinal surgery, and that's the reason she's not here today. About 10 days ago, she had surgery on her retina to correct something that had gone wrong. And I know some of our folk haven't heard yet completely, but she's doing quite well. She had a big bubble that's now gone, that's still a bit blurry, but her sight is slowly coming back in the one eye. And so we give thanks for that, and we continue to pray for complete sight and vision to be restored. So all these different things, you all have experienced these kind of challenges. But we give thanks to the Lord for His hand of love that endures forever. And then when we take His hand, we find that He puts our hand into someone else's. Have you noticed that? And that's what church is about, of course. We're here in fellowship with one another, But there are opportunities out in the world where we suddenly find somebody crosses our path, and we are called to reach out our hand and do something for them, whether it's to give or protect or care. My role has been to care for my wife lately, which includes my culinary expertise, and she's thankful to know that it won't last forever. And all these different things we have in our lives. I told you, I think last time, that we had a neighbor who crashed her motorbike into our garage door. And what it's done is it's opened a door for us to care for her. She was absolutely amazed that we weren't upset and we weren't going to sue and we weren't going to do this, that, the other. But we simply cared for her. And that was a God appointment in the midst of a distressing circumstance. So whatever circumstance we find ourselves, it may be something that's on the surface doesn't look too good. But out of that, we can look to God and say, okay, Lord, show me your way. And then we have to have the right foundation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Jesus, the cornerstone, is the secure foundation on which we build our house, our lives. And we remember that parable, of course, that we build a house on the rock, not on the sand, so that when the storm comes, it'll stand firm. But those who reject this foundation discover that not only is their house insecure and in danger of falling down, but they face the judgment of the one who personifies this cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the cornerstone, and the cornerstone, of course, sets the direction for the whole house. That's the intent. It's a foundation, it's a direction-setting stone. And so Jesus is our cornerstone. And as we go through life and whatever stage of life we're in, and as I look around, I see quite a few of us in the second half or third period or whatever, God is with us and he's got a plan and a purpose. And Lord, help us to see beyond this world. Help us to see into eternity. The older I get, the more I begin to see eternity. The more I begin to see heavenly things, spiritual things, and less do the things of this world become an obstacle. This is the day of salvation. We rejoice in the present moment. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. And so we rejoice because this is the day he has made. This is the moment that we can be together, we can rejoice, we can be at his house. And this is a wonderful thing. I love my time of devotions in the morning. I sit in my little office, which is a chair now. I used to have a lovely big office. Now it's a chair. And I sit there, and I can just escape from the world and all the issues and just meet with God and sit in his word and let his word minister to me and invite his Holy Spirit to minister to me. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it, be glad, and be glad. So at this moment, whatever's going on out there, this is the place to be. This is the moment to be in God's presence and enjoy it and rejoice and be glad. You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His name endures forever. Very often when we come to pray, we come with a shopping list of things that we want God to do. One of the things I'm trying to learn, and he's trying to teach me, is instead of coming with my request, is to come with his answer. And so, for example, I have a financial need. Instead of coming and saying, oh God, please help me in my financial need, I come to say, Lord, I just declare, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, and I'm going to entrust you with my needs. I trust you with whatever I'm going through. As I mentioned, Lynn's been through health stuff. Many of you have. We're still praying for Pastor Travis. Lord, I just declare that you are the Lord my healer. You're the Lord who heals, the Lord who restores. You have Lynn in your hands. You are the one who's restoring her sight. I just commit it to you. Whatever the outcome, I trust you. But I look to you as my Lord and Savior and healer. And so we stand firmly on the rock of our salvation. And Lord, we just come to give thanks to you. You are the Lord. You are good. Your name endures forever. And Lord, as we come into your presence, we want to be still And let your presence, your spirit, your word minister to us. So what is on your heart today? You may have something that nobody else knows about. Just as we're going to have a moment's silence in a moment, I want you to just bring it to God. Invite him into that circumstance. It may be one of rejoicing. 21 grandchildren. Our 6 grandchildren. Your whatever is blessing you today. Or it may be something of a struggle. Lynn's eye issues. Health stuff. We just come into your presence, Lord. And we just lay our concerns and everything down and pray for you to come. So let's just do that. We're not just going to say that. We're going to do it. So in a moment's quiet, just invite the Lord to come and to minister to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch us and minister to us this morning. So Lord, we say yes, yes to you being the Lord of our house, yes to you being the name over our house, yes to you being the Lord of our hearts, our minds, our families, our churches. From this house, we declare your blessing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.